After you.
After you.
Okay. If I were you, I'd be terrified. I know I am. My name's Loy. I'm an alcoholic. And I'm really glad all you guys are here. Oh, jeez. I'll try to keep a straight face while I do this. It's been a few years. Quite a few. I have... God, in His infinite wisdom, blessed and honored me by placing the woman to my right in my life. She's held my hand. She's followed beside me, and she always holds my heart. That's for sure. And along with giving me the gift of her friendship, she's given me the gift of her daughter. So I'm doubly blessed by the same family. I've had the opportunity to watch Natalie grow up physically, as well as spiritually and emotionally, through the wonderful team that is these two women. I have seen that this program truly works. I've seen the effects of what recovery can do to raise up the next generation, and the changes that, if we are willing to strive forward and walk through the pain that we have to walk through from time to time, the wonderful joys that can be attained afterwards through our children. So I thank God for this gift. And with that, I would like to share with you both Donna and Natalie. I love you guys.
My name is Donna, and I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic. 31 years ago, this weekend, I was 9 months pregnant with a child that they told me I'd never have. I was a full-blown alcoholic, and I thought the child could fix me. My child was then and is today the light of my life. She has walked past me. She's surpassed me as a woman. She's surpassed me as a spiritual leader. And I can't think of anyone today in my life that I have more respect and admiration for than my daughter. She has the courage to tell me to mind my own business. And she has the courage to raise my granddaughters the way I should have raised her. My daughter was my greatest gift, and she's given to me the second greatest gift I've ever had, my granddaughters. I love her, I respect her, and I'd like to meet one of the finest women I know, Natalie.
Thank you.
Natalie, and I'm an Al-Anon.
Hey, Natalie.
Ooh, man, oh man. I was terrified to come up here because, you know, I'd have to, like, say something that I don't know if my mom knows or not, you know? I haven't done a fourth step with her yet, you know? She was involved in something. Anyway, but to be respected by your mom... Man, I was doing good until she said all that, you know. I tell you, this is one big family reunion for me. I don't know how you guys not want to come here. You know, those scrapbooks are family albums for me. And not just the workshop, the rooms of AA are family. I don't have to know you. All you have to do is be in a program, any 12-step program, whether it be NA, OA, I don't care what it is. If you're in a 12-step program, you're a relative of mine. My topic is learning to rely on women, which is kind of ironic because I don't quite find myself a woman. I find myself a girl. And until last year did I really face up to that I was a woman. last year I was smoking, and this year I'm not, by the way. But thank you. Last year I had went to buy cigarettes, and I always got carded. And it was right before my 30th birthday, and I threw my license down, and the guy said... You think you look that young. So, all in one day, I felt very old. And I felt womanish. You know. But then, I woke up, and I called here, or my mom called me, to tell me happy birthday from the workshop, because I could not come. And then, Lisa and everybody... saying happy birthday, all of you guys saying happy birthday to me over a cell phone. And I was laying in my bed in my pajamas crying. Oh, it was wonderful. But I can't express to you how to rely on a woman if I don't feel like I'm a woman. So I can only say that I rely on women as their daughters or granddaughters, you know. I mean, I don't find myself to be a woman to rely upon another woman. But, you know, when I came into this program, because I grew up in it, I thought I already knew it. And I didn't want to be in the program that was chosen for me, which was Al-Anon. I wanted to be an alcoholic. And I wanted to be, or an addict, those were good. But Al-Anons weren't, those weren't good. I didn't like those. They were really whiny, you know. And there were always women that wore flowers, who baked, who sewed, and who were married. And I didn't want to be married. And I didn't want to be Betty Crocker, who whined in an Al-Anon meeting. You know, I didn't want to do that. I wanted to talk about all the things that I had done. I had conquered, you know. I mean, I sat up, growing up in those rooms where you guys would talk about, you know, how you stole and, you know, slept around. And you guys would just laugh about it like you're doing now, you know. You know, moms don't just laugh at stuff like that when you go home and say, hey, Mom, guess what I did, you know. So, you know, I figured join the alcoholics, you know, it's a lot more fun. To give you an idea of my perception of an alcoholic, though, was my mom tells a story of it was career day at school, and I was asked, what do our parents do for a living? And I answered, my mother's an alcoholic. So, I was proud. I was very proud. I lived in a halfway house, you know, I was very proud. I had lots of aunts. They were alcoholics too. Anyway, so after that emergency teacher-parent conference, I was told that my mother was a counselor for alcoholics, you know. But, you know, I was just very proud. But I was also proud of all of you having this bond. You know, I mean, you guys could come in. I've seen women who have done a lot of stuff. They've just done a lot. And you guys are all like, oh, that's great. You give them a hug and it's going to be okay. Keep coming back. So why wouldn't you want to join that, you know? I also wanted to be a ballerina. Hey, it was a good mixture. Ballerina alcoholic, you know. Dreamed. Anyway. But I was proud. So when I came here and I had to come into the Al-Anon program, I didn't want to be. And I would say I would relate better in the AA meetings, you know. I can identify, you know. And then someone pointed out to me, well, you are an alcoholic. And I thought, great. That's what I wanted to be. Bye. She said, no, sit down. She said, when you grow up in an alcoholic home, just because you don't drink doesn't mean you're not an alcoholic. I thought, darn, you know, I wish someone had told me that a long time ago, because, you know, I had tried drinking, and I'm about 100 pounds, so drinking didn't do well for me, you know. I didn't black out unless it constituted as passing out. I didn't like drinking. It wasn't fun for me, sorry. Didn't qualify, I guess. It's pretty bummed. But I also tried drugs, too, you know, the addict thing. But that didn't work either, because I could give that up when I wanted to. So, I was pretty bummed again. And I'm a size 4, so I'm not an overeater, so I can't get in that way either. Tried that. So I was stuck with the Al-Anons and didn't want to be. The Al-Anons didn't seem to have the bond that the alcoholics did. And what are you going to say as an Al-Anon? You know, really. I didn't know what you'd say, you know. They drank all the time. That's what I thought. I mean, I really thought that. But then I came in and I realized something else. That since I was an alcoholic, even though I was in the Al-Anon program, that I had done all that stuff, and I did have a story to stand up and say, guess what? I slept with him, too. I'm glad I can't see my mom. Thank you. But it was very hard because I tried for so long to play two parts. One was Donna's daughter, you know, which I thought had to be the non-drinker, the non-drug addict, the good child, where then when she wasn't around, shut up, Loy, Lois, my aunt, really. So she knows. I've had to call her plenty of times. But then when I wasn't around my mom, you know, then I could be Natalie. So I thought that's how it had to be. So, you know, it was really weird because in my cabin meeting, I just have to let you know this, in my cabin meeting, someone says, we were talking about, you know, who do you want to be? Did you remember that? And we were saying, the girl, we were telling this lady, the girl, see, I don't think of women, you know. So we told the lady that she could be Dee today and Donna tomorrow, and then someone said, and Natalie is definitely a Saturday night. That's great. That is so me. You know, you wouldn't picture it, but, you know. But anyway, I don't know where I was, but anyway, I just thought I'd tell you that I'm a Saturday night. Anyway, it was just really hard to play those two parts. So I would work, and then I would go home, and when my mom would go to work, then I'd go out to play. And the unfortunate thing, though, was I had so many people that were my family that were in the program that it was a bunch of flipping and flopping, you know. You run into something, oh, okay, and now I'm supposed to be sober, you know, or sober in mind or in whatever, and then I'm supposed to switch back to Natalie when they're gone. So it got to be very hard. And then I began to manipulate more so that when I came into the program, it was hard to use those same women to rely on, because those were the same women I also manipulated and I used. And that made it difficult to be open, which relying is to trust someone to be open enough to be able to give them you. And how can you do that with someone you've manipulated and cheated and lied to? That became very hard. So then I figured out that I can't write a letter with half of a pen. If the ink part's out and I've just got the hollow shell, that's all I've got to work with. Nothing can be written down, nothing can be made in stone, as they say. So I had to realize that if I wanted that realness that I saw in Al-Anon, as I saw in AA, or in NA, or in any 12-step program, I had to give all of me, regardless. And that was very hard, to be that honest, and to be that pure, if you want to say. I don't like that word, but to rely, though, to think that they're going to tell me something I don't know. Well, you would have to do that now. B to everyone who was in my cabin last time. My mom's going to kill me for that. Anyway, to rely upon them to teach me something I don't know. That they will guide me in a way that will be the right way was very, very difficult, because I don't want to be honest, because then you might know who I am, and then how can I manipulate you and get my way, I guess. It's a pride thing. It makes me, I don't know, man, I quit smoking. I feel like I'm rambling, you know? I just want a cigarette right about now. No, I had a straw. I got to get a blow pop. I've given more blows since I've quit smoking, I tell you. I'm sorry. Man, oh man. I can't believe I said that. Anyway. Oh, gosh. It's on tape. It's on tape. Oh, well. That'll be the first thing on tape, you know. It's recorded. Anyway. Man, that just blew me right there, didn't it? Oh, gosh. Okay. Anyway, dirty-minded alcoholics, you. See, you guys are not giving me good... Okay. To trust you is very hard, especially when you guys handed me books and told me to read them or told me to work it or, you know, keep coming back or all those slogans I'd heard before now meant something different and they now ticked me off. So now I had to, like, learn to forgive you and I didn't want to, you know. So to be in this program has been a joy because now I realize that those books that you gave me to read, I bought the book on tape on some of them, but they were like manuals for me, not just, you know, decorations for the coffee table. And I don't actually know what's in them, even though I was raised in it and heard it all my life, you know. The other thing is, you guys gave me. I'm no longer, I can be Donna's daughter, but I can be Natalie, Donna's daughter. Not Donna's daughter here, but Natalie over here. You guys gave me my mother back already, which I was very thankful for. Just didn't know how to give that thanks. You gave me aunts. I mean, I have tons of aunts. I have tons of grandmas and, you know. Some people say you can't pick your family, you can only pick your friends. Well, that doesn't apply to me. I just go to a new meeting and pick some new family members, you know. Get rid of all of y'all that don't think my way, you know. Anyway. But you also gave me spirituality. I'm hard-headed. I know, that's shocking. It's inherited, my mother's side. It's my mother's side. I don't know my father, so he doesn't pertain to this conversation at the moment. But in that hard-headedness, when one of you would give me something, I'd have to break it up. You know, and I'd have to say, it really isn't going to work. You know, and I can prove that it's not going to work. Thankfully, I just did it to prove that it wasn't going to work. Miss Jerry gave me spirituality. You know, she was my spiritual person. And for a while, she was my higher power. You know, I had to think of Miss Jerry as that, you know. But then it got bigger. And then it got bigger. And it was nice to be able to start with a friendly face of Miss Jerry, you know. And she didn't force it. She just said, here, read it, you know. Ask questions if you have any, you know, that whole thing, which made me work for it. It was something I just couldn't take from you. I couldn't manipulate it from you. I couldn't rip you off in it. I couldn't sleep with your husbands to get it. I couldn't do all those things that I had always done before. This time I can actually get it by me walking the steps and me walking to you and going, hey, I need help, or I don't understand, which seems to be hard for me to do. Vanessa gave me organization, because Vanessa, when I first met her, was this, you could lick off the floor underneath that woman's stove when I first met her. I mean... She was clean in her cabinets. I gotta tell y'all, in her cabinets, she put down shelf paper and then put tacks to hold down the shelf paper. And it was a sticky backing. It didn't need the tacks, you know? She boiled liver for her dog and chopped it up as little snacks and kept it in the fridge. I mean, she just did things. She had an agenda. She made a list. She was very timely, you know? I mean, she was just... And so now I have another book, you know, that's my agenda book, you know, and that's, I learned from her how to be organized, which I had never known that. I'm not quite that organized. I mean, my packing today was throw everything in the van, I'll pack it in the bag as I drive here, so But it's a plus because I got it here. There has been times where I forgot my sheets when I came here. I forgot my clothes. That was nice. But then I have Lisa who's giving me music. I remember, it's funny. You can tell me, you look very nice today, and I can't remember that past tomorrow. But you can tell me I hate you, and I can remember that every second of every day. And I remember someone telling me that I sound like I'm singing in a bucket. You know? So what? I'm singing, you know? That's how I feel today. But that wasn't always like that. And Lisa was able to give me the book of music. You know, whether I think I can sing doesn't play a role. She just wanted me to sing for me. You know, it wasn't about whether I can sing an opera or not. It wasn't about that. It was about being me again. And it was nice to be able to look at me, where for so long I wasn't able to look at me. I tried to ignore me, put me on the back burner, get rid of me in some way. I tried to be you, you know. You for this day and you for that day. That was pretty nice. But it was chaotic, you know, because you don't know who you are. And now I'm in the program and I still don't know who I am. But, you know, hey, we're working on that. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. And then I have my mother, which gives me the book of generation, because I can call her up and I can say, I don't know how to do this, or this is frustrating, or, I mean, my daughter will be 12 in December, and it's hard to imagine because I can't tell the story, but no one knew I was pregnant until the day I was in labor. That was a well-kept secret until that time. And I had to then call up my mother and tell her, hey, Mom, I'm pregnant, so I won't be able to work today, and I'm having a baby today. And of course she said, you know, that's nice, we'll talk about it when we get home, and she didn't quite understand what I meant. No, I'm pregnant and it's today. 9 months is over. Surprise! Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, you know. She was born December 29th, so she was right in between, you know. But I have the book of motherhood from her, you know, because I didn't know how to be a mother. I didn't know how to be pregnant, you know, I didn't tell anybody. I fooled myself. There were some days I went through that 9 months. I didn't even think I was pregnant because I had told myself so much that I wasn't pregnant. So that when I had this baby and they were like, so what are you going to do with it? My mom was like, we're taking it home. What do you think? You know, and I was like, oh. You can take it up with her, but I think she's already decided, you know. And it was... Do you guys remember that? I mean, that was, you guys just don't know. Yeah, the finger was going. She was a waving then. Woo! You haven't done something big until you've done that. You know, because I lived and worked with my mother during that time. And, you know, she would wake me up in the morning, you know. And I would get ready for work and I would just meet her there. And that morning she woke me up, I wasn't pregnant, you know. 4 hours later, I was in labor, you know. Little did she know. My water had broke that night, you know. But see, I didn't know. You know, I thought I just was unpotty trained for a day, you know. I just kept going to the bathroom, and that wasn't the time to go, hey, Mom, why do you think I keep peeing, you know? Man, oh man. But it was really cool because I had all these, let me tell you, only a teenage pregnant girl could have such a greater family, because I tell you, all the AA people were like, well, that was so awesome. I didn't know she was pregnant. She was just at my house. What does she need? You know, I mean, they were just like, what are you going to name the baby? They didn't care, you know? I mean, it's that whole fellowship thing you guys had. You didn't care what I did, you know. You keep coming back. Bring more. You know, you guys were great. I mean, you guys bought me baby clothes, for heaven's sakes. You know, my mom was still in a state of shock. My dad was puking, you know. You guys were out shopping. You know, I had a full boat baby room set up by the time I got out of the hospital, you know. Only alcoholics would do that. You know, I didn't say anything because I had had friends in school that had gotten kicked out of their house or knew they would and went for an abortion. And I was the pill holder, you know, and I would distribute their morning dosages of pills. And I had thought about getting an abortion, but, you know, I just couldn't do that. So, but I didn't want a baby. I didn't want a baby. But then I had all these alcoholics who were like, well, we'll keep it. And I was just like, ooh, I want the baby. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, because she is a wonderful young lady. I just must say that. But, I mean, where else could you go? I mean, you couldn't walk into a church and say, hey, I slept with 25 people, and I've ripped off my mother, and, you know, it was a teenage pregnancy. I mean, you couldn't do that. Where else could you do that, where people will laugh and love you? And, I mean, when you come in here, it should be easy to rely. You know, you should want to, like, crawl into their arms. You know, I asked Loy to introduce me because she gives really good hugs. So if you need a good hug, see Loy. Or Lisa, she does too. Or Kathy. Kathy's another one. I can give you a whole list if you want some. But, you know, I crawl into these arms now. And I have to. Because when things go on, in my life today, I know that I will mess them up, so, you know, I get to crawl back in, and it doesn't matter what program you're in. It really doesn't. And I can prove that by, if all of you pointed right now east, which way is east from where you're sitting? Point east. Point east. Everyone's got a different direction, but no one knows where the heck they're going, do they? So it really doesn't matter what program you're in, as long as someone can get you where you need to go. You know, I mean, I don't know where East is. I don't have a compass. But the other thing I had to learn from you is that I was a success. And that was very hard. Because how can I be a success doing everything that my mother hoped I'd never would? And then being in an Al-Anon program. No, I love being in Al-Anon today, but how are you a success? You know, when you're a statistic for teenage pregnancy, how are you that success? And I don't classify myself as that statistic of a teenage pregnancy because I was pregnant when I was 19, but I had her when I was 20, so I consider myself classified as an adult, but, you know, hey, that's my pickiness. But I had to learn that success is not some grand thing. It's not a grand thing. So I'm going to show it to you, what was taught to me. So I want every one of you to stand. Now I would like you all to look to the person next to you, on either side, behind you, whatever, and that's what success looks like. When you guys look at each other, you should see success. When you guys look at yourselves in the mirror, you should see success. The song that they sang before I came up here was just, they had to sing it. There was no other option because if that's a whole other story. But when it talks about the quilt squares, You know, each of you are a quilt square in a gigantic quilt. And if you remember that, then you should never, A, feel alone, because there's always a quilt above you, a quilt inside of you, and below you. So you have something to stand on, you have something to look forward to, and you have someone to walk by you on either side. And that's how I have to walk through this program. And that's how I trust you. It doesn't matter what program you're in, it doesn't matter what church you go to, where you live, what you look like, because I can judge you all day long. That will not keep me here. That would only keep me far from you. And if you look at one quilt square, not attached to the rest of the blanket, you're not going to be very warm when it gets cold. But when it's connected on all four sides, you're protected. I mean, that's protection. I mean, you couldn't get any more protection than that. And it makes one big blanket that when you're cold or when you're scared, it comforts you. And that's relying on other women for me. Because I learned how to be a mother that way. I received my mother that way. You know, so why would I not want to use the same thing that gave me my mother to teach me how to be a mother? And I don't have to learn it from the same person. I can learn it from a variety of people. You know, I can take one thing that someone over here says and combine it with someone over here's comment, and I have my whole thought. So I don't even really need to think, which I kind of like. Gosh, you know, I just don't like being a speaker. I like being a group participant. Anyway, since this is Friday night, and there were a lot of new people, I consider a lot of new people as their first time for this workshop in here. And I just want you to know, you could not make yourself, make a fool out of yourself by being here. I've already done that. Until you've taken a U-Haul and said, I will be just fine with it. Leave it alone. And then crash into one of those cabins. I have alcoholics to prove it. Don't ever say you'll be fine and then take the keys of something very large like that. Especially around alcoholics, because it was really good, let me tell you. I'll tell the story real quick. My mom had, I wanted to take the U-Hauls on the snack committee with Laura and I, and I wanted to get the snacks closer to the pavilion instead of lugging the heavy snacks down. And I took the U-Haul keys, and my mom said, no, no, no. I said, I'll be fine. You know, I'm 20-something years old. Let me drive the U-Haul. You know, so I took it. I will be fine. It's okay. My gosh. Got in there, and we were fine. We parked. We were close. We were doing good. And then there was a flat tire on the little dolly thing. And I thought, I don't want to carry it that little bit. We can get it closer. So I looked, because I'm an Al-Anon, you know, I can figure these things out. For all the alcoholics, Laura was the alcoholic, she couldn't do that. So she, well, yeah, they're coming. So I saw this spot down by two cabins over here where I could drive up and then back up to the pavilion. Should be piece of cake. However, that's when I learned clearance. Clarence, Clarence, whatever that thing was. I just know I didn't measure that part. I only measured between. It's all clear. So I gassed it. About that time, Laura starts going, no! I'm like, what? We're fine. Bam, right into the side of that cabin. Whole footboards are coming down. I stopped. I'm like all in a freaked out state, you know, and Laura's like, oh my gosh, she's looking around to see if anyone's looking, and there's Chris and Becky at the top of the hill looking, going, So, the good Al-Anon and alcoholic mixture that I am, we got to get the U-Haul out, because, you see, I had the maintenance man on the way to come and help me unlock the one door. And they were on a golf cart, so now I'm trying to measure, let's see, I'm in the U-Haul. How fast can I back up, get off the grass, and be on the street by the time that golf cart comes around the corner? So I'm like wailing back, you know, and Laura's trying to make sure I don't hit any cars, you know. That's not what we need. And then I'm taking all the boards and I'm putting them beside the cabin, you know, clean it up. Then the maintenance men come, and then I go back to my cabin and I get Loy again. I've used her a lot over the years, you know. And I said, Loy, you got to lift me up, and I'm going to take a shoe, and I'm going to nail the board back on. So it was a long night, because you guys just don't go to sleep very quickly, you know, especially here. So we had to wait, and then I thought, okay, so she's like, you know, we really don't have to do this. She was being really rational, and I was not at that time. I was going, no, it's just one board. I can do this. We never did get that up there. And then waited all weekend. Finally, I told the maintenance man, and I don't know what ever happened to him, by the way. Frank. Yeah. I went up and I said, Frank, okay, I did something. I ran into the cabin with the U-Haul. And he was like, you did? Yeah. It's not bad. It's just the corner of the building. No, just the wood part, the roof. And he's like, oh, that had to be replaced anyway. I could have kissed that man, you know. Yeah, I think I did. I don't know. I was just happy. Doesn't take much, does it? Sorry, Mom. Anyway. Let's see. I get to rely on women again. Hit a building. But don't ever say that. I don't know where I was going when I told that story. But anyway. The moral of the story. Oh, the newcomers. Yeah. Thank you. See, you couldn't embarrass yourself. Thank you. And then there was a time that Chris and I and Loy, it was snap, crackle, and pop, I remember. And do you remember that? Oh, Vanessa was there too? Yeah.
No, I wasn't
there. Oh, that's right. You left. But anyway, took toilet paper and rolled the U-Haul one year. That was, yeah, it was Lisa and Loy. Yeah, okay, yeah. Sorry, Chris, I didn't mean to put blame on you.
I just watched.
You just watched. Well, you were in there anyway. We've done all that stuff, so you guys should feel comfortable. I mean, you couldn't make a fool out of yourself. And then on the way here, I was listening to one of the tapes from the old workshop, and I can't believe you guys recorded me singing, because when I first turned it on, I was like, my gosh, who is that? And then the longer it got, I said, oh my, it's me. You know? I was singing out of a bucket that time. Oh, it was horrible. So you guys should be just fine. But this thing, if you have a pen right now, you can write down my name, you can write down my number, but I'll tell it to you. I live in Iva, South Carolina. Iva. Well, we say Iver. If you go to Snuffy's bar across the street. Anyway. But get that. Everyone here will give you names and numbers. And just like Kathy said, we will call this time for sure. We've learned our lesson. But it's just like Donna who came up here. I met her at the campfire here, and she, you know, I don't want to talk. I don't want to go to the campfire, she said. I don't want to play a drum, and I just put a drum in her hand and made her play anyway. So if you don't feel like doing something, it's okay, we're going to make you anyway. And we're going to take pictures of you that you would not want seen. And we're on a mission to get a picture of Dee coming out of the shower. That's a good mission. And Angie with no hat on. That's another mission. We will succeed. Anyway, you guys are all successes, and you are all my family, and I just love you, and I just don't know why you would ask me to speak, but I thank you.